What?
Nothing.
You're like humming and hawing and like fixing your shirt.
Oh, geez.
No, you're jeezing and jawing. Like, it's crazy that you've been jeezing nonstop.
Yeah, I think that's my new thing.
You're, it's like, you're young jeezy.
You say one thing, like, oh geez.
Oh, geez.
Here we go. Jeez.
Jeez.
Speaking of geez, Joe.
I am here.
You made it.
I'm surviving.
You made it.
I made it through a night where I didn't know if I'd ever be back again. I didn't know if I had a home ever again in my life. You know, there's nights where you go to your home, the home you sleep in, and you share with your life partner and podcast co-host, and you unlock that front door and it's deadbolted. And it's 11:45 and you're on 4%, and you're ringing your doorbell.
Yeah.
And our neighbors are coming out. I'm holding a can of seltzer, a bag of chips.
Was it a recess?
Jerky. It was.
It was to calm you?
Yeah, I wanted a nice little calming night. I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to lay in bed. Like, I'm going to have a little snack. I'm going to like watch some YouTube videos. I'm locked out, and I'm just thinking, like, I really had to check my privilege at the door where it was deadbolted, because I was like, wow, like, this is crazy, because there was genuinely a moment where I had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Like, I had no home, and it was about to start snowing. It was below freezing out.
Yes.
I had no opportunity for safety, and I had almost no phone. And if my phone died, what would I possibly, like, literally, what would I do? I wouldn't be able to contact people. I wouldn't be able to, like, if my phone had died in my Uber back to this apartment, I actually would have had to go to the pod, and I would have had to check in at the pod.
Oh, my gosh.
And, again, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy. It was tough. It was really scary.
It was really tough and scary. And I do apologize that you had to experience something like that. I do. I just need to explain what was happening on my end.
Are you going to apologize for the fees incurred for the Ubers?
Yeah, we're gonna get to fees. Okay. We're going to get to fees and where they cancel. But I want to let you know that, like, on my side, like, there was somebody that was buzzing in 5 times.
Was it me?
The apartment. It was not you.
Are you sure?
It was at 10:45.
I got back at like 11:15.
And they were buzzing. And I saw them there. And I was like, oh my God, they're coming. They're coming for me. And I don't know why. And then I saw them run in. Someone else let them in, because I was looking at the little key fob emoji to see if, I mean, the whatever. And they ran in with a full sprint. So I was like, oh, this is it. I'm dead. Joe's not even here. So I deadbolted the door, and then I got nervous. So I went into my room.
And you just, and like, were like, Joe's sleep. Not coming back, even though I did confirm with
you
him
did,
earlier.
You did, but it was getting, I just feel like normally you would get, I guess you normally get back that time. But I was like, oh, he would have been back by now. I just assumed.
No need to
confirm.
And
that was a problem. That was a problem for sure. And I think one of the most scary parts of this whole story is, I didn't wake up, and that's alarming.
You didn't wake up to the doorbell. You didn't wake up to the 65 phone calls.
No.
You didn't wake up to me buzzing up multiple times.
No. Anyways, I do apologize. I will say, like, I will pay you. I will absolutely pay you. Should I talk about the keys? I don't need to talk about the keys.
No.
I don't need to justify this because
no. I mean,
it was horrible.
The keys.
Different, but emotionally damaged.
Oh,
emotionally
for sure.
The same.
Yeah.
So I will say that last,
our bodies keep the score, you know?
Absolutely. Last week I had my keys, and then I suddenly lost them. I was like, where the hell did I put my keys? Like, this is really bad, because I've lost my keys before. Like, and then I was just leaving the door unlocked, which is scary.
Bad.
Never doing that again. Because now I'm deadbolting doors. Joe's like, are you kidding me? You're always losing your key.
In
Maybe
my
this
defense
is a lesson.
There, you've lost your keys at least twice since living here for 2 years, right?
I mean, that's not justified, but 2 times in 2 years.
I've never lost my keys.
I know. Well, listen. He's like, this should be a learning lesson. Like, I'm preparing everything. Like, I'm actually going crazy to a point, like, retracing every single step.
I want to make it clear that, like, I was saying all of it with a drop of sarcasm. I wasn't looking at you saying, this should be a learning lesson.
No.
I was like, when are you going to learn?
I know. And then I'm like, I don't know what to say, Joe. Like, I literally don't know what to say. Like, and then I was really geared up for therapy. I was like, this is going to be my therapy topic. Like, I just lose things. I'm a loser. Like, I can't figure out where I put shit.
No.
And people are noticing. And then I get the text from Joe on Thursday night. I lost my keys on Monday. He goes, I hate to say it, but I did have your keys.
Yeah, they were in my jacket pocket the whole time.
So, and that's literally whatever.
So karma came back for us.
Karma is a god, but like...
Yeah. I mean, like, I got my karmic justice. I was locked out. Mine, I would say, was a less intentional. Like, I didn't intentionally take your keys. No. You did deadbolt the door.
I did,
when I was not home.
But you do, you can recognize it was an accident.
Yeah.
Good Children!
Whatever. Hey guys, and welcome back to Good Children, the podcast. We're hosts Joe Hedges
and Andrew Muscarella.
Reflect on our 22 years of friendship growing up in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and all of the nostalgia, trauma, and freshman year experiences that come along with it.
Freshman year, fresh meat, ninth grade.
Walk through the door, it's the morning of your very first day. Yeah. Take a deep breath. That's what it is.
And there were plenty deep breaths.
I wish I took deeper breaths.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. They weren't nearly deep enough.
I remember not being nervous enough. I should have been more nervous.
Were entering a fully new facility.
Yes, I should have been I should have wanted to die.
Yeah.
And I don't remember being that nervous. I think I've just always been delusional.
That's sweet, though.
You know what I mean?
Especially on a first day, it's like you kind of have to be delusional if you're going to feel like you're not going to be sick to your stomach. And you didn't have to worry about what you were wearing. You kind of just showed up.
I literally love to worry about what I'm wearing, though. Like, that was a difficult part for me of the entire Catholic school experience.
But, like, you worried about what you were wearing, but I feel like even now, like, sometimes it is a source of, like...
Anxiety. Yeah. I mean, dress down days, we'll get started on those. Yeah. But... I loved a first day of school outfit. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, I was like, oh, it's my sweater vest with the black pants and the blazer. And none of that really fit me well. Like, that was tough. Yeah. And I was like, no one gets to see my individuality. I think Catholic school is the reason that I dress the way I dress now. Or, like, try to dress more out there. Because I'm like, this is how you know who someone is. Like, people had no idea who I was. And as we get through the high school year episodes, I think that who I was aesthetically gets more and more developed and refined.
Oh, yeah.
Especially during a dress down day. Yeah. And as social media rose and I was able to post outfits to social media.
And I was like, you with those skinny legs and a skinny jean.
Yeah. Pumped up kicks.
Yeah, that really is interesting about a Catholic school. They really like whip you into shape.
They're like, I guess that's why it's called different.
A uniform. Like, yeah. You have to be uniform and you can't have any individuality. But that's like... You have, like, your little button untucked, or, like...
Yeah, I got my detention. Yeah.
You get detention.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, I talked about it before. I loved getting that detention.
Of course.
I was like, I'm officially cool.
You were like, I'm different.
I'm different. I'm edgy now.
Yeah.
I got detention.
And I'm like, you're not getting into school? You're not getting into college, but that's fine.
Yeah, freshman year, we're in 2010. This is the year of 2010, the school year from 2010 to 2011. Who were we then? What were your interests? What were your passions?
Oh, my interests at this time, like, I was fully ingrained in sports. I was my sports...
I was going to say baking for you.
It was sports and baking, yeah. I was definitely doing I was living two lives. I was at home when I had any ounce of time to myself. I was probably baking a cupcake or a cookie to bring over to your house. Probably like the peanut butter cookies that your mom would love.
Oh,
she loved those.
She loved those peanut butter cookies.
She did.
You gotta look some of those up.
I do. And I was like, I have to get the specific brown sugar from Target because they have the best brown sugar. And I would make her the cookies.
You're actually 14. I was so insane.
Yeah. And I was really, and then I was like, okay, time for practice. And that was my era of, like, getting my new shoes. We've talked about this, but, like, going into school was, like, I needed to stunt with my Jordans. It was a different time.
I don't like hearing about shoes in you, you know? It just gives me an uneasy feeling lately. I've learned a lot about you in shoes.
With me in shoes.
Yeah.
Why? Because, like...
So I do feel like, what was your favorite shoe? And, like, what were you wearing, a Jordan?
I was wearing, like... these limited edition Jordans.
Okay, that makes sense.
They were like gray suede.
Was it like a blue accent?
No, it was a red Jordan and like a black leather. It was actually, they were beautiful. And they did give me a little bit of height. Those and Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones for sure, yeah. Freshman year, I feel like I was, freshman year I was entering Sperry's already.
Really?
I was definitely entering a boat shoe because of St. Anthony's.
And you were with the, let's just clear the air. And let's, because the air stinks. You were, I mean, there's plenty of reasons why this air stinks, but you were wearing a no-show sock at that time. Have you ever dabbled?
Have I ever dabbled in the no-show sock? Have I ever, like, touched that space? Yeah, I guess this is the hardest thing I have to say on this podcast.
Yeah.
I have worn a no-show sock before.
And there it is, folks.
And I've never once felt emboldened or empowered or confident in a no-show sock.
No.
I think there's
Did it bring you down a little bit?
It brings you down. There's nothing that's more hard to swallow, I think, and honestly emasculating than looking down at your feet and just seeing this faintest idea of a sock cupping your toes.
Stop! It's barely covering the big toe. It's literally a
barely there sock. It's just so... And like...
And sometimes they were so tight on the toes that they were like almost bending back a little bit.
Yes, you're wearing a ballet flat.
Yeah.
And
there's
nothing, I think, less sexy, nothing less like... And again, empowering than like if someone took off their shoe and I had to face a no-show sock. I would say I gotta go home.
Yeah.
And I'm not a judgmental person and I never have been.
You, Joe, if any listener knows anything about you, is that you don't judge.
I've never judged.
In your life.
Never. Especially not a no-show sock. But
no, but you were diving into the Sperry's at this
point. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking back to a very specific dress down day freshman year. I was diving into at this point. Oh my God, this is Order of the Phoenix episode.
Yeah.
Wait, this is going to be one of the best episodes of the podcast. I'm actually so excited. Holy shit. And like next episode is Long Island Hunger Games.
Yeah. 10th grade gets nuts.
It gets so good from here on out. Like it gets more and more insane with each passing year for the next 4 years. I remember wearing like, I remember going to like Deer Park outlets and like going to like some outlet store and getting like all Ralph Lauren, like polo, like a button down and like a pair of like Abercrombie and Fitch chinos and then like a pair of matching Ralph Lauren polo boat shoes.
Yeah.
And being like, I'm hot. I'm hot and rich. That was the other part of this experience now is I was entering a school with like rich kids and that was a very fascinating world to step into.
Yep. Especially 14. As a kid. Yeah. You're like, how do I keep up?
How do I keep up? How do I give the appearance that I'm also rich?
But like wearing this uniform.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Well, that was so.
It's a mental thing.
The uniform is meant to equalize everyone. You know, you're supposed to be like, oh, everyone's the same. You can't like judge based on clothes and stuff. But like it almost was like worse because it was almost like everyone was just naked.
Yep.
Like, you know, like you only were able to judge people on their physical attributes, which is like worse.
Yeah. That was tough, but I will say for ninth grade, like entering ninth grade.
Braces off.
Off.
How was that for you?
Amazing. Yeah. I was licking my teeth like
a cow.
Yeah, and it was always smiling. I felt so good, and I was like wearing my little, Abercrombie. And this is the time I kind of got back into Abercrombie.
Yeah, right? It came back.
It came back
for a second.
I was wearing the button downs with like the shirt underneath. The Abercrombie and Fitch shirt.
Oh, yes. Underneath. Holy shit.
Yeah, with like a striped Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yes. We were both in that era together. Mm-hmm. That was like the last time our fashion choices blended together.
Yeah.
Was like right towards the beginning of high school.
I think I was almost flipping. I could have been adding the flip.
You had a front flip?
Yeah.
Andrew, I don't think... Oh, like a tiny one?
Like, yeah. Because the thing is with my hair... A micro flip, like a little wave. Because the thing was with my hair at that time, like since I was brushing it out, like I would flip it up and it would just curve back.
Yes.
It would just cone a big wave kind of back. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I remember it vividly now.
Yeah.
I feel like that was your formal hair. Like that was an event moment. Like you weren't just every day flipping that hair. First day of school, picture day.
Yes.
Big moments, weddings, funerals, wakes.
Like the intention was I'm coming in, I'm stunting.
Right.
People were like, whoa.
So that the rest of the year Muskie's you could wear hair? Your classic sweatsuit.
Yeah. Classic sweatsuit. I did dabble in like then I was obsessed with Old Navy. in high school.
Oh, yes, you were.
I had the same kind of.
I loved Old Navy.
Old Navy everything. Old Navy branded shit.
I didn't go that far. I was always very label conscious, but yeah. I did love Old Navy's clothes at that point. I thought they were very cool.
I mean, they have the best jeans.
Yeah. Ugh. There's no better experience than going to the Old Navy denim department.
No.
And there's 65 people rummaging through skyscrapers of jeans.
Like, and they're actually
in a violent manner.
Yeah, they're everywhere. You're like, I don't give a fuck because I know it's going to fit my waist.
Yeah, you're just grabbing them.
Like bootleg, perfect. Yes.
Running to that dressing room, trying them on, and you're like, I look fucking hot. I'm 14 and I'm very sexy.
And these are the darkest denim I've ever seen.
These jeans are not able to be worn by a human being, but I'm wearing them out of the store.
They will bleed on any surface I sit, but I love them.
I look exactly like the mannequins, the terrifying mannequins at Old Navy. What were those?
I don't know who they were trying to like trick there.
I was obsessed with them.
Yeah.
They were all like, right? Wasn't that them?
Yeah. Yeah, they were freaky deaky.
Yeah.
But like, Old Navy just gave me a rush. Love that place. Love their flip-flops. Love their boxers. Loved everything about them. Love
their flip-flops.
I was obsessed with their flip-flops.
Do you only not wear flip-flops now because of me? Have I cast that much judgment onto a thong?
Yeah, you definitely have like, like beat me down to a point with flip-flops that like, I don't want them on my feet.
You have to blame Emma Watson. She started that cycle of violence.
Yeah, and like then you became Emma, and then like after that, it was just like you couldn't get away with your toes showing.
No.
And sometimes I'd like want to feel that little thong between these toes. Like the air going on your feet, like sometimes is really nice.
I just think any respectable person should not have their toes out in public.
And that's, like, that's something that you're dealing with.
You're right. That's a me problem.
That's a you problem.
I started therapy today.
Can't you tell he's different?
Yeah, no. Also, like, at that time, speaking of boxers, like, this was, like, the American Eagle time as well. The American Eagle boxers were an iconic time.
I remember buying my first pair, I'm a slut.
Literal slut.
It's a classic, like, bird. What was their... It was an eagle.
It was an eagle.
Me, the bird?
The bird.
The classic eagle. Yeah. Everywhere on those boxers.
Yeah.
You take down your pants. Amazing.
Remember the pants being taken down?
I mean, like, literally
just... Take it on the Wii Fit?
Yeah, literally. To just step on a scale at someone else's house. Yeah. That's where they came off.
Yeah, I guess it was really the beginning of the exploration of fashion. Yeah. And, like, fashion trends. Again, it's nothing like it is now. Like, trends were, like, set by, like, I guess TV and, like, sort of celebrities. But I don't think we were looking at, like, also, like, male celebrity fashion at that time fucking sucked. It was, like,
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, and then we all were wearing a zip-up hoodie.
And we were. And we were, like, again, with back to the boxers, it's like, I kind of want my underwear to show just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I want you to know.
By that, I was like actually pulling my boxers up to my nipples. Like, it was not like so, I was like sagging the pants.
No, because God forbid.
We couldn't.
God forbid.
No,
Our parents would be like, pull your pants up.
This was like ripped jeans too. The amount of fucking times I heard throughout my childhood, like, you're paying for those? You pay more money for the holes?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Should you get money back if there's got holes on your pants?
I could rip those for you instead.
Yeah.
That was 24/7.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, this was a weird time for me. This is when I got into the chunky jewelry.
You were wearing chunky jewelry?
I was wearing... Because this was the time, like, when I realized that my social capital was not going to be, like, being rich. I was like, this was Jersey Shore was at its peak. I've said this before. And this was a time when I realized that I could make my role in this school... being Italian and like being a Guido.
Yep.
I was like, I can do this. Like, this is where I belong.
Lean in.
I was doing anything to just not be gay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was like going down every avenue to avoid the easiest option.
What did you, you had chain.
I was gelling my hair.
Oh, all you were almost spiking.
I was spiking for sure.
Do you remember what gel you were using? I feel it was like gotta be. Yeah. Gotta be glued.
Gotta be glued. And honestly, Garnier Fructis. And the got to be though in the tube. Oh,
and it would actually like linger on your hands for the rest of the day.
No, I washed my hands.
Oh, okay, that's different.
I remember getting a big chunky watch that had a cross in it that was like encrusted.
Shut up.
It was like, yeah, it was like encrusted with like fake diamonds. I got that at Macy's. You know, like how they had those like weird jewelry, like in like kiosks.
Yep.
One of those. My confirmation necklace was still being worn loud and proud, and I was intentionally adding more to my voice to sound more Long Island at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we were like, would get back to your house and be like, put on the wigs.
Novella, you have to come. We're having such a good time. Suzanne, do you want to come over to my house to have a party?
Telling the truth is hard, but like lying about who you are is so much harder. Like it is so much more uncomfortable to have to defend things you actually aren't versus defend the things you actually are. And like that, I think, is the epitome of high school.
Yeah.
Is like me being like, no, I'm a Guido. Like, no, I'm rich. Like trying so hard to be all of these things. And, and if I was like, I'm Kurt Hummel, it would have been
done.
Like more hard, more complicated, but so much easier for me.
It's easier for you, and then spirit. In turn, yeah. If it's easier on your spirit, it's going to be easier for everybody else around you to accept that.
Exactly.
Person.
I think that's part of what's happening.
And you probably would have had more friends.
I would have had more friends. Yeah, that were like for sure.
The genre of friend that you
actually needed. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but I was hiding myself, and you know what I was doing. I won't bring it up yet, but I was going over to Phoenix.
Yeah, I know. I know you were. I literally know you were. Okay. I'm just like thinking about the context of this year, and it was Jersey Shore.
Yeah, it was.
And it was like seeing that progress within the public school system was really something.
Yeah, for I'm sure that was more like Four Loko, like partying.
We're
like
here with Four Lokos. We're here with booty shorts. We're here with the crop tops. We're here with the poofs. We're here with the eyebrows. People started getting their eyebrows threaded.
Oh.
Men too.
Mm.
I jumped on that bandwagon a little bit later on in high school.
Are you still doing it?
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
You bullied me out of that one too. So honestly, I for the better.
All I said to you, why are you getting your eyebrows threaded? You have great shaped eyebrows already. Like you don't have any reason to get them threaded. It was all I said.
I'm like, Joe, I gotta work on this one. You say anything, and I'm like, okay, all right.
I was just one of those children who was so desperately hoping to end up some mythological being. Be it Percy Jackson, I was convinced I was a demigod.
Stop.
Be it Harry Potter, wizard.
Yep.
Mermaids, vampires, anything. As long as it wasn't a human being, I was like, this is me.
And I will say, Joe, you're not a human being.
Thank you so
much. You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm like anthropomorphic. I'm like an anthropomorphic, like amphibian. I think I'm like a frog.
You know, you kind of froggy.
I'm kind of froggy.
It's funny that you said that because I know that I've always pinpointed you as Australian, but I think what I just meant was like you're an amphibian.
Oh my God, they're close in terms.
Very close. Yeah. You do give.
Like. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, and like your tongue too.
Mm-hmm. The top of the charts were Justin Bieber
and
Taylor Swift. Again. One for you, one for me. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day,
you had Bieber fever. I couldn't have been sicker.
I had no...
Sicker for him.
No interest in him, ever, ever.
I don't know really what it was. I think he was just like, to me, he was so cool. He literally was like,
yeah,
what's up? And I was like,
oh my God, like, holy shit.
That's the one. I feel like this was also the time of, are we getting there though? No, it came out. California Girls Teenage Dream. Wasn't that 2010?
The Teenage Dream Tour. It's time to tell the story.
It's time to tell the story.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the story?
I'll tell my side of the story.
Let's
do
it.
You can come in when you feel is correct. Okay. Yeah, it was the best of times. It was the worst of crimes.
Yeah.
It was 2010. We were freshmen in high school. Katy Perry was honestly slaying. She was living it up.
Pop
she
was supreme.
Yeah. At the same time, like, she wasn't my fave.
But she was.
But she was turning out hit. And that's something about Katy Perry. Yes, she voted for Rick Caruso. So, like, we don't have to, like, get into who she is as a person.
No.
But Katy Perry, like, as a performing artist, has so many major mainstream hits. Like, everyone, like, really ignores the fact that, like, Katy Perry exists now. But, like, we had Firework, we had Roar, we had Teenage Dream, we had Part of Me.
We had California Girls, we had E.T., we had Roar.
I already said that one.
Oh, no, there's definitely so much more that
we're missing. The one that got away, we had... Yep.
Wide Awake.
Wide Awake. Dark Horse.
Dark... Because I'm coming at you like a dark horse. Yeah. We honestly, like, and this wasn't even mainstream, but we had Hummingbird Heartbeat.
We had This Is How We Do.
This Is How We Do. You're So Gay.
Like, she did, like, did I say Firework? We had Firework.
We had Firework.
Like, we, like, Katy Perry, the reach of her at this time, I mean, like... In general, it's undeniable.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's one of the biggest pop acts of the past, like, 20 years. Like,
I agree.
Including Taylor.
Like, I think that she will go down in history as one of the top pop
girls. Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, she's alive and kicking and it's like she's dead. It's like, no
one really it's like she's dead. It's she's like on American Idol. Yeah. Everyone's like,
oh, it's Katy Perry.
She looks a little different. We
have no respect for her at all. And I don't know if she's definitely done things to lose our respect. But it's crazy
because I kissed a girl.
Sorry. I kissed a girl.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, we just pushed her out of the way.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, she dominated the charts. And at this time, she was the big thing.
The
Teenage Dream Tour. She was married to Russell Brand. She had blue hair. She had crazy colored wigs.
And when I heard that she was going to be pumping out the scent of cotton candy in that theater.
That's all that mattered
to us. That's all that mattered. I wanted
one sniff. Just one sniff.
Sniff of the Teenage Dream Tour.
And... We both got a big nose full that night.
Yeah, we did.
I was offered a ticket by another friend of ours, a front row seat to the Katy Perry Teenage Dream Tour. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously like, absolutely yes. Mm-hmm. Be an OML, best night of my life. Like, I'm going, this is going to be it. Mm-hmm. Then along comes Polly.
Along comes Polly. And Polly, being me, says to Joe, hey, Joe, like, I have tickets to the Katy Perry concert. They're 5 rows from the stage. I don't know who knew someone. Someone got... These were, like, Katy Perry's, like, blocked-off seats.
Right.
I'm like, I got 5th-row seats, Joe. Do you want to come with me? He's like, no, I actually am already sitting front row. I'm like, okay, so, like, you want to sit front row, but, like... You don't want to go with me? That's fine.
I think that the audience will agree that, like, if you have the opportunity to be front row or 5th row, like, no matter who you're with, it was another friend of equivalent value.
It was.
I'm going to pick the front row seat.
I guess you're right, but...
You would have picked the front row seat, Andrew, over... You would have picked...
From... If it was 1st row or 5th row,
yes,
same...
No, you would never, ever have chosen to sit with me in 5th row if you could sit in front row with someone else. There's no... To this day, there's no way you would do that.
Don't you say what I would say.
Because I know you so well, and there's no chance. There's literally no... The fact that you're pretending that this isn't part of contention is crazy.
That because you don't know what I would have done.
You're seeing you and me, and that's why you're mad.
Anyways, let's talk karma. Let's talk freaking karma. Anyways.
There's no karma. I did nothing wrong.
You did nothing wrong. I did have nobody else to go with, and I did bring Joe's sister. And we had a fantastic night. Anyways, we stroll into this arena. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. I'm going down to the floor. Joe?
I was in the 200s. I was lied to about the ticket location. I was gooped. I was gabbed. I was bamboozled. I was brought to the 200s, and I had a miserable evening staring down, not at Katy Perry, not at the Teenage Dream.
How would you?
Sure. I was staring at Andrew and my sister having the night of their lives watching the California Dreams Tour, sucking in all of the cotton candy games you possibly could, mm-hmm. having a great time.
I left like on a euphoric high.
A shirt. I bought a shirt in the parking lot.
You needed to.
I love a parking lot concert shirt. The bootleg ones are the ones for me.
Because the thing is about the booties, it's like they are just as good. Mm-hmm. And they're like $10. You're like,
yeah, I'll take 2.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a rough evening.
It was a rough evening, but like looking back on it, like an incredible tour. What happened? This is the time when she broke up with him.
Yes, and she had to get on. It's in the Part of Me documentary. It's really worth the watch.
Yeah.
Watching her perform after finding out that she's getting a divorce.
We can't get another meal out
No, we can't.
We can't keep doing it.
We're actually at our limit. Genuinely, a credit limit, an emotional limit, a mental limit, a physical limit. We cannot order out again.
And I'm sorry. Like, we both get stressed going grocery shopping.
I can't go.
Not for us.
I get oversensitized.
It's not for us. And thank God for every plate. And I love to cook. I love to cook.
I love to watch you cook. I love to be fed a meal by you.
And we love to save money.
And I love a low price point.
Lowest price point.
Lowest in the game.
Yeah.
You're saving money. You're saving time. You're saving emotional damages.
And the meals, the recipes are easy.
The recipes also are like very different. I feel like.
And they look delicious. Like an
upgraded meal kit recipe. Yeah.
I'm very, very, very excited to cook.
I can't wait for you to cook. No. I can't wait for you to cook. Mm. And then maybe I'll even try it.
Joe, there's 25 different recipes, and you know I'm somebody who loves variety.
You love an option.
I love an option, and the fact that I can swap out these recipes.
Yeah.
And if I hate to do 25 factorial, but you could.
And, like, for us, like, I think the benefit of, like, living with a roommate is, like, we get to actually, like, functionally, like, literally like double down on these prices. Mm-hmm. Like it is first of all 58% cheaper than your average fast casual restaurant.
58?
So like if you team up with someone you know, like even if they're not your roommate, like if you know what I mean, like you could like make your friends do this with you. Like you literally like this is a money saving option.
And cook with your friends.
Yeah, like actually connect with people.
Have people over, cook them a meal, and you know what's gonna be top notch, top quality.
Perfect. And the fact that if you're cooking 30 minutes or less. No more.
30 minutes or less. What can you
Rachel
do?
Rachel Ray.
Call me Rachel Ray.
30-minute meals.
Or less. I mean, it's quick. It goes by in a blink of an eye. You're cooking, and then you're immediately sitting down. You're like...
Because you're getting all those pre-portioned ingredients. You have no stress.
No stress.
Oh, my God. I'm almost going to start cooking. And you can, too, dear listener, because you can get started with every plate for just $1.49 per meal. $1.49 per meal. $1.49 per meal. By going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering goodchildren149. Less than $1 on... Is this the cafeteria? Is this the school cafeteria?
Guys, I was paid $2.25 at lunch. This is $1.49?
$1.49 a meal.
Get started with every plate for just $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code GOODCHILDREN149.
I mean, you can't beat that.
You can't beat that deal.
What is that average cost? What is that? How much are you saving?
$110 of value.
Literally, thank you, EveryPlate.
Thank you, EveryPlate, for saving our lives.
So how did you navigate the social hierarchy of freshman year of high school?
Oh, Jesus. I think that sports allowed me to navigate my social hierarchy. I mean, like, after I was shoved in a locker in ninth grade, yeah, obviously we've talked about it. We've heard the story. I know that you want to, like, kind of, like, pretend like it didn't happen. But, like, after that happened, I think that, like, I paid my dues. And then I was able to, like, be with the older kids in the school. I was, like, the cool kids.
And you were, like, their little chimp?
Little
bitch.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. I guess that's how you climb.
Some of us didn't want to climb.
No, some of us just wanted to sit.
Some of us wanted to join the Order of the Phoenix.
And that's exactly that was a good transition.
Wasn't that not
that
bad?
That was nice.
I set you up to tell a story and made it about me.
Of course. I mean, like, what's new?
Yeah, I think it's time to unpack it. This story... This was my first group of friends in high school, and honestly colored my high school experience for all 4 years. I started school, no friends, had to like make a friend in the cafeteria on day one, and pretty much like stuck with that for a while. Like I sat alone at lunch almost every single day, like had no real social life going on in school at all, literally at all. And then one fateful day, I'm walking down the hallway.
Stop.
A glimmer catches my eye of a poster on the wall. I see it say, is that the Deathly Hallows symbol? Is that Harry Potter? It is. It is a poster for a club called the Order of the Phoenix. For me, I'm like, I don't care where this is, I'm going. You know, like, this is my
time. I'm shocked because I feel like you would see something like that and you'd be like, dumb, stupid.
Maybe as an adult, I would say dumb, stupid. But at that age, I was obsessed with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
to the point where I was like, as long as there's someone here who likes Harry Potter, like, I'm going. And I did go. And I would say, now that I'm thinking about it, it was kind of the catalyst for everything to come for me. Because I went that day, it was my English teacher who I had a crush on, not my favorite, not yeah. another one who was fired. I think after, honestly, he hit someone.
Oh, okay.
Like, he hit a girl.
Okay.
He was the monitor of the club. Okay. And it was like, I do feel like my high school experience mirrored Perks of Being a Wildflower a lot in a lot of ways. Like, and maybe it was because I based it off of that. But the club was like, it has to be no more than like 7 kids.
That's honestly and a perfect
every
size.
Single one of those kids at this point has to be across the LGBTQIA community, you know, like hitting checking multiple boxes.
If you're joining the Order of the Phoenix,
yeah, no gay. Chance. And I think at the time only one of them was actually out and gay, who was absolutely Kyle, was definitely like my guiding light through this time in my life. But we would just sit there and we would watch a Harry Potter movie, and that was, I think, all we would do. And then we would like unpack the movie and then like play trivia.
How many meetings did you guys have? How many movies are there?
I think there was not a lot of meetings.
Yeah, I was about to say,
I think I remember going like 3 times.
Yeah.
I don't think it happened. I think it like was quickly shut down.
Oh, what the hell happened? The Disorder of the Phoenix?
Yeah, I think it was disordered. I think that originally it was called Dumbledore's Army, and the school had a problem with a club being called an army.
I can't.
And then I think they were like, this is witchcraft, and it's a Catholic school. So they had to shut down the Order of the Phoenix. I'm remembering this, like, I could be making this up.
Your school thought it was witchcraft?
Well, it was. Like,
the Catholic Church was scared.
A lot of Catholic people, or, like, Christian, I don't know what denomination it is, like, were not allowed to read Harry Potter growing up because it was witchcraft. And they felt what was happening was, like, why is the Catholic school representing Harry Potter? Like, it just wasn't, like, it didn't make sense for the two of them. Mm. But in that time, in those few weeks of the Order of the Phoenix, someone handed me their Android and said, what's your Tumblr? And I said, what's Tumblr? And that was a butterfly effect that has gone on to this day. Because had that not happened, we would not be here right now. I'd be dead.
What's your Tumblr?
What's your Tumblr? And I found out that day what Tumblr was, and the rest is history.
All I needed to do was join the Order of the Phoenix Club, and I would have been introduced to Tumblr.
Yeah. That's
what you're saying.
Yes, just be around gay kids. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was that on that.
It's full circle for you.
Yeah, we'll get into Tumblr
Thank God Harry Potter existed.
Yeah, I would say so. I think Harry Potter did a lot for me. Yeah. Like, fuck J.K. Rowling, always. I still don't know how to say that woman's last name. It's been fucking 30 years of my life.
Rowling.
But yeah, Harry Potter really was the moment. I was talking about it last night, and I was like, Hermione Granger was like the most iconic character in anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like she, this is not my words, this is Ross's roommate Dallin's words that I'm going to use, where like she was the original pop girl like that we stand. Like Hermione Granger was literally like,
everyone was talking about
her. I was like, she's gagging me. Like movie after movie, she would show up and I was like, her fucking hair, like her outfit.
Stunning.
She's so smart. She's so prepared. Like she's better than every single boy in these movies. It's like, she is an icon.
Yeah.
And that was like my main motivation. And then I obviously like was in love with every male character in that movie.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Did you have any struggles at this time? Like, because now we're coming at a point like we're gay and we're gay, right?
Yeah.
We're gay.
In ninth grade, I definitely think I was.
You were like jerking off to gay porn. Like it was a gay.
Yeah. It wasn't like porn yet, I don't think.
You were watching porn?
No, I was watching porn, but I wasn't watching
straight porn.
Yeah. But I was, like, looking up, like, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm.
Still.
Like, did you ever in school have, for even 1 second, the delusional belief that you would, like, get a boyfriend?
No.
Yeah, same. Isn't that so sad?
Yeah, no, it's really sad. It was never, it didn't even cross my mind. Same. I never even allowed myself to think about it. I was like, mm-mm. Although, again, I will say it was definitely difficult because with sports and with locker rooms, we've talked about this before, but it was like I was constantly surrounded by men. And like, I was like,
yeah.
And that for me was like, okay, maybe, it's true.
It's true. Yeah, it was kind of like this secret that you were like battling yourself where you were like, no, like, I have to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you just wanted to be, you did not want to be proven right about the theory that you were gay.
No.
Like, yeah, I can't imagine being in sports situations.
No, it was really, I look back on it and I'm like, whoa. Because, I mean, I did meet people throughout these, like, especially with lacrosse, like, I met the friends that I would want to have had while I was on this team, but then there were so many people on that team that I was like, I just can't resonate with you right now. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, like, you like school too, so we're different, you know?
What?
It was like the ones that were like in the honors or doing the things, and I was like, that was my deflection from being like, okay, we're playing sports. Because I guess like through school. And then they threw me in that net. And of course, I was the one that the balls were getting thrown at.
Yeah.
I mean.
Because you were big enough to block it.
Big enough to block it.
I was thinking, like, I think part of the probably the belief for both of us that we were, like, just never going to find someone in any capacity, especially in high school, was, like, not only being gay but being fat. Like, you're taught instantly when you're fat that, like, nobody is going to love you. Like,
oh,
the
yeah.
world immediately teaches that lesson over and over again. Like, movies, TV, like, you're the butt of every single joke. Like,
yeah.
I think I'm gonna go for a little 10-mile jog.
The things you overhear from other kids, from adults, like, from teachers, like, from gym teachers, health teachers, like, all you ever hear is, like, you're undesirable.
Yeah.
24/7.
Nonstop.
Like, and then, like, cartoons and, like, children's shows, like, they're constantly, especially, I don't know now, but, like.
It's like the butt of the joke.
Yeah, and I remember being really bothered by that as a kid, being like, why is this joke being made? Yeah. Like, why is this okay to make this joke?
I think, like, too, like, with comedy, like, it's always been dominated in such a self-deprecating way. It was like.
Love it. What's your name?
Fat Amy.
You call yourself Fat Amy?
Yeah, so twig bitches like you don't do it behind my back.
Oh, yeah, it's so easy for people to laugh at what's visible. So it's like, oh, yeah,
right.
I'm the fat guy. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, sad. That, and then adding that layer on top of it where you're like, also, I'm gay, so I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, so, like, I'm fat and you might as well just
I'm fat and down gay. There. Like, no one's ever going to love me and God also hates me.
Yeah.
And then growing up with that privately in your head for fucking years.
And years and years.
Like,
it's, and then constantly saying, no, 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 I'm not, I'm not, I'm not.
Yeah, denying it.
And again, kind of similar to your therapist's point, it's like, you're lying.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. He was like, why do you feel so comfortable lying? And I was like, because I had to, that was my, my literal, the only way I could be alive was to always be lying.
Yeah.
Like, also,
lying and hiding.
There's an interlude. I don't know who says it. It's in Sam Smith's album. I sent you the screenshot before I was locked out.
The interlude.
Yeah, and the quote, though, really spoke to me.
Having to lie, I feel, is the saddest and the ugliest part of being a homosexual. When you have your first bad love experience, for instance, and you can't go to your brother or your sister and say, I'm hurting.
And I will never forget when I broke up with my first boyfriend, going back home that night and watching the VMAs with my entire family and not pretending saying like a single word.
Yeah.
Pretending like nothing happened and just having to sit through that entire thing. And like, I've made a joke about that so many times where I'm like, I rushed home to watch the VMAs. Like, and in reality, like, that was one of the most darkest experiences of my entire life.
It's so isolating not being able to speak to anybody. Yeah. And even
so,
like, friend. Like,
You're literally conditioned to lie. To lie from the moment you're born.
To be somebody who you
Want,
like, nonstop.
And, like, we're circling back to season one with gay serial killers. We, like, make jokes about it in that episode. But now I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, that's why we were so... Again, it's George Santos. It's, like, it why is. That was those things happen.
Should we do the questions first, or do we...
I'll be happy to do a question first.
What's the question?
Good children to the guidance office.
I think this is a fun question because I think we were going to have a very similar answer to it.
Okay.
How do I get over my fear of STDs? I don't know if it's I don't know if it's OCD or what, but sex scares me because I feel like I can't trust anyone and I'm just destined to end up with so many diseases. LOL. Help!
In all caps. You're going to get the STDs.
You're gonna,
that's the thing.
You're going to get the STDs. I love that they think that they're destined for
so many. Is extreme.
I'm like,
you're not a pirate.
Okay, what does your pipeline look like? Like, who are the people that you're talking to and how often are you having sex?
Like, even if you're having a lot of sex,
yeah.
you're not destined to get so many STDs, but
like are one in three people
that no. you are going to get an STD in your life, and it is not going to impact you in the slightest.
No, but again, if you take the proper precautions,
oh, obviously that's obviously, what I'm saying. You have to get tested.
If you're gay, step up and prep up.
Step up, prep up.
But other than that, like,
step up, Discovy up.
Discovy up.
I'm Discovied. Are you a Discovy girl?
No, it's not my insurance.
Or are you?
I'm Truvada.
I'm so jealous. I want brand name prep so badly. Stop. That's so hot.
No. But the thing is, too, it's like you can't hold yourself back in situations, especially like that, if you're afraid of that other. If that other person is being open and honest with you, it's okay to also, you should be asking.
Yeah. I mean, that's something else. I feel like every. I know, but like, okay, here's me. Okay. Like, if this person is afraid of getting STDs, I'm going to assume they also are, like, afraid of sex.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's throw it in there.
Yeah.
We all are at some point in our lives. Would you be so quick to be like, by the way, like, when were you last tested? Like, before they stick it in?
No. But, again, I have had multiple, I am not normally the person asking, though.
I know, they are. That's what I was going to say to you. I feel like I've always had that conversation.
But I think that we can start leaning in and being like, D&D free? Is that what it is?
Drugs and disease free.
Is that what the people say?
I wouldn't say D&D
free. No, but like, like, have you been tested?
I mean, that's
lately?
Why, like, for gay people, like, with the apps, it has all the information on it. I think some of it is trust.
Yeah.
You know, like, there is a moment of being like, I actually don't know this person. But also getting tested, like, the worst thing that could happen to you with an STD can be avoided with proper STD testing. Like, the literal worst diseases, you don't get them overnight. No. Like, if you're that concerned with STDs, simply regularly go to an STD clinic. Or there are online testing resources that are readily available.
And, like, it's okay. You get that test result back and you have a little STD. It's not the end of the world.
All adventurous women do, to quote Lena Dunham. To quote girls.
Okay. Yeah, to quote,
it's when she gets HPV. And Jessa says, all adventurous women do. And then at the end of the episode, like, after her whole breakdown about it, I love her. Hannah gets into bed and she opens up her laptop and she opens up Twitter and she just tweets, all adventurous women do. And, like, that's me.
That's literally you.
I mean, like, I don't, like, it's not that big of a deal.
At all.
It is, like, it feels like a big deal, but, you know, you've gotten the colds before. It's literally just, like, a different version of a sickness, and there are cures for literally everything.
Yeah.
I mean, like, is getting tested a little bit of a humiliating experience?
For
Maybe the first few times, but once you realize that the person testing you does 55 of these a day, they don't give a fuck about you, or your holes, or anything else you need to get tested. It does not matter to them. It's a job. Get tested. Step up, prep up, be smart. Have fun.
Have a lot of fun.
Don't let it go. Don't let life pass you by because of fear of STDs.
Yeah.
Live in the moment.
Live.
Fuck who you want to fuck.
Fuck.
Slay what you want to slay.
I was going to say spray what you want to spray.
Well. And eat what you want to eat.
And speaking of,
what are we eating?
I can't even tell you what I did.
I'm so scared.
This is stupid.
All right, walk us through it.
All right, so this was like, it's just like, it was the execution correct? Who knows? So my idea was, you know crack.
You're crack?
You've done crack. You've had crack before.
Crack?
So what crack is, it's a saltine cracker.
Oh.
And then you have like that caramel, the chocolate on top, and you bake it in the oven. Mm. But for this board, I was like, I don't really want to bake it. I kind of want a deconstructed crack. So today we have deconstructed crack.
How do you feel about it?
It's not my favorite thing that I've ever done.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I think that like there was a few like
missteps,
but I do think it's
good. You did make your own caramel.
I made my own caramel, you guys. And I think it's very good. Like, it's just the butter, the brown sugar, and, like, a little bit of heavy cream. So, you want to build your own or you want me to build?
Can you build it for me,
I want to build it. It
gives you joy.
Build my crack.
I feel like a layman's version of this is, like, you buy your own caramel, you use Nutella.
There's nothing bad about some sugar on a cracker like that.
No, how could you really complain about something like that?
And I'm always just trying to be a little bit more unique. Like, if you're making that crack anyway, you're baking it, you can just put this all in the oven and just bake it and call it a day. Or you can make it fancy. And I think I made it fancy.
Boo.
Boo. School's out.
School's out for the summer. We'll see you next week for sophomore year, and we'll see you on the road.
Los Angeles,
March 20th.
San Diego, March 21st. San Francisco, April 2nd. Seattle, April 3rd.
Boston, Late Show,
April 27th. And the Boston Late Show, we said it, but it's my birthday weekend, you guys.
We're partying
in Boston. You know where to get those tickets.
All you little commenters, yeah, tickets in the bio. Everyone who's saying, oh, no, this city. We are working on it.
We're working on it, like, please.
Please. It actually is stressing me out. Like
Chicago next. I'm coming to Chicago.
No, it's just like we're only two very inept gay men who can barely keep this apartment together. Like, we are planning, I guess, a countrywide tour.
And I will say, like, thankfully, we do have people that are helping us.
Yeah, I was taking full credit, but like,
Joe was taking full credit.
Agency. We have an agency that is helping us.
Thank God, because if not, we would have been found dead.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here. But yeah, tickets are in the bio. You know where to find them, and you know where to find us.
Yes.
At Good Children Pod across all platforms. At Joe Hedges on Instagram.
At Andrew Musgrove on Instagram.
Don't forget to do your homework.
Like, comment, subscribe. Spread the damn good word. Write that review.
Share.
Please share.
Please share.
And again, if you're in one of these cities that we have a show, share with your friends in that city.
If you're in Honolulu,
share with your friends in Honolulu.
Drive up the demand for a Honolulu show.
One person comment, Honolulu, come to Honolulu.
Oh, we're there. And just like that,
we're done.
All right.
We'll see you
next week.
You make me feel like I'm living a teenage dream. The way you turn me on, I can't sleep. Let's run away and don't ever look back, no.
You always take it to that Skylar Astin, Ben Platt fucking pitch.
If you think Ben Platt sounds like that.
Acapella ass, Nick Jonas ass.
Nick Jonas ass?
Moni.
I wish.